You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The New York Times and the Washington Post and those on the left want us to believe that these protests are mostly peaceful. If $2 billion and 10,000 arrests and chanting, "We hope you die," is mostly peaceful, I hope it doesn't ever get violent.
The words of Trey Gowdy, former congressman. This is September the 17th, 2020. Trey Gowdy says we have a mob mentality in this nation that is willing to accept and encourage more and more violence. And there are two ways to look at what's coming up with the election. The mob mentality, the direction that has been coming from those on the far, far left. Now, I'm not talking about the standard Democrats. Basic Democrats, I know some. They're friends of mine. They are not into this mob mentality. They're not for causing chaos, anarchy all across the nation. Or any specific point. They don't like it, and they don't think it's going to play well for them or their candidate. And in fact, we already know that several Democrats have made it public they're going to go to Trump because of that, or they won't vote at all. The question is the only way to avoid this is to get Biden elected? If we don't elect Biden, we're going to have anarchy and riots and chaos for the following 4 years? Do you believe that? If Trump wins, that's what we'll have? Let me give you another scenario. And do not take these words and play them back in the future and say, Larry Connors said this, because you've got to keep it in context. I wish I could have some kind of little chirping or something going on and say, in context while I talk, because I don't want to be misquoted in the future. But if Trump should lose. There, I said it. If Trump should lose, do you think that would keep the mobs out of the streets? I say no. Because then if Biden's in the office, and actually it's the Harris administration, they both of ours use that phrase. She did it by mistake one time, and he's done it by, I don't know if it's a mistake or he's already been told that, call it that. But the bottom line is, if I'm going to say it again. If Trump should lose, the mob will see this as they now have a mandate and a license to do whatever the hell they want. You think we have problems already? Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. If they think they have full reign and they can do what they want, it is back to that old Katie bar the door. Too late. The other phrase, horses out of the barn, too late. By the way, Attorney General William Barr going after Democrats on a range of issues in an interview he did with a Chicago radio station, and one in particular, Chicago Tribune, I should say. It's also part of their broadcast operation. He said, you know, liberals project that the president's going to stay in office and seize power and all of that S, he used the word. He said, I've never heard of that crap. I mean, I'm the attorney general. I would think I would have heard about it. In other words, we do have folks out there saying, you know, if Trump loses, we'll have to take him out of the office. We'll have to escort him out. And Biden's already made remarks. We have a military. We can escort him out of the Oval Office. Yeah. Well, first of all, you need to win the election. And win it fairly, not by cheating and not by a lot of scam, mail-in votes and ballots. We have a day of reckoning coming, according to Senator Graham, Republican, South Carolina. He said, I do have a day of reckoning coming. We are going to get former FBI Director Comey in front of us and start answering questions about the so-called Russian collusion story, how it came to be, who was behind it, who started it, who fired it up, and a big, big question. What is this about erasing all the information off of phones? When they were asked, members of Mueller's team, to turn their phones in, they said, I don't know how I did. Everything's gone from my phone. I don't know. We'll discuss that. And Dr. Rick Layman joining us, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Do you think kids should be playing contact sports? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. You need to let your family and friends know we are on the air, because you don't want to miss a single minute of what's coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The day of reckoning is upon us when it comes to Crossfire Hurricane. James Comey has agreed to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee on September the 30th without a subpoena. I appreciate Mr. Comey coming before the committee. He will be respectfully treated but ask hard questions.
That is, again, Senator Lindsey Graham announcing the Senate Judiciary Committee will have former FBI Director James Comey testifying. They didn't have to issue a subpoena. He's agreed to come forward. Of course, he's presenting the position that I have nothing to hide. I'll be here. You don't need to send a subpoena. I was a FBI director. I will come and answer your questions. I'm all about law and order and telling the truth. Telling the truth. That might be, your nose might get kind of long if you continue to repeat that over and over. But Lindsey Graham on Hannity last night said that come September 30th, they will have Comey in front of them. And Graham says this will be a day of reckoning. He said, we're gonna start looking at this Crossfire Hurricane. Now, keep in mind, Crossfire Hurricane was the title given for the inquiry. Everything behind the collusion efforts to find out, as Mueller's team came forward and started looking at the so-called Russian collusion ties to Trump, how it was initiated, how it was carried out, who did what, who's responsible for what information was found, what information was a lie and known to be a lie and used anyway, what information was used to get FISA warrants illegally because they knew the information was wrong. Graham says this is the time that we're going to start digging into it. Lindsey Graham, South Carolina senator, again on Crossfire Hurricane.
How did it get so off the rails? How was the FISA court misled multiple times? Well, that day is coming. I'm proud of our committee. We will also interview the people who interviewed the subsource, and we're getting to the bottom of what happened, and we'll have a hearing on September 30th with Mr. Comey, and hopefully Mr. McCabe will come in. He's out all over the place. We've invited Strzok to come. He's selling the book. We'll see if Mr. Strzok will come without a subpoena. But I look forward to this hearing. I think it will be important to the American people.
Speaking of Strzok, Smurf, as I call him, you know, that's the former FBI agent who was one of the early ones got fired. Remember Smurf sending his text messages to his lover, Lisa Page, who was also with the FBI as an attorney, and saying, Trump will not win. We have an insurance policy. And she's saying in the text, well, I'm not so sure. Oh, he will not win. And, of course, later, under testimony, smirking in front of Congress, Strzok said, Smurf, that is, I call him, said, I have no bias that affected my impartiality as an investigator. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't have that bite handy. I should have gotten it. I always love pulling it forward. When he gets questioned by a member, I'm trying to recall who asked the question now. Anyway, asking the question of Smurf, saying, you sit there with that little coy smile and you tell us you had nothing to do with it and lying to us. Did you have that same kind of smile when you were telling your wife that you were not having an affair? And, oh, my God, the left came unglued. Oh, that's not right. That's unfair. That's unfair, Chairman. It can't be. That's not right. That's not right. Yeah, because it was clear that Smurf was having an affair with Lisa Page. He had no problem lying to her, so they said, you probably have no trouble lying to his wife. You probably have no trouble lying to us. Smurf is already taking a preemptive strike. He appeared yesterday on MSNBC. Let me read to you what he said. He was asked a question by the host. 25 years from now, how does history see you? Here's his answer. Stand back, folks. You don't know how volatile this is going to get. Make sure you're safe distance from the radio. I'm not even going to play his audio. I'm going to read it because I'm afraid if I played it, it would absolutely blow you apart. But here it comes. The question again. 25 years from now, keep in mind he worked on the counterintelligence investigation into, quote, possible links between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. So 25 years from now, how does history see you? Here it comes. I think it sees all of us as patriots. I don't even know how you can get that word out without choking on it. I think it sees all of us as patriots who were working as hard as we could to defend America against a Russian threat, against a Russian attack on our elections that helped elect the 45th president of the United States. Well, the Mueller investigation said there was no such proof. No proof of any collusion or anything like that. None. None. And yet he still insists it shows we were patriots working as hard as we could to defend America against a Russian threat, against a Russian attack on our elections to help elect the 45th president of the United States. And of course, he's not going to get a tough question at MSNBC. These guys never go in front of someone who will ask a follow-up, hard, tough question. They don't want to play that game. They don't want to be caught like that. Come on, the question should be, if it's going to follow up, well, what about the Clinton involvement in the Steele dossier and being bought and paid for with Clinton campaign funding and the Democrat National Committee and how they were working with the Russians? How about that? How does that affect you being a patriot? No, you're not going to get any question like that. But as you heard Lindsey Graham say, we invited Strzok to come. He's selling a book. We'll see if he'll come without a subpoena. I wouldn't count on that. I don't think you're going to get him in without a subpoena. I could be wrong. Maybe he'll decide, look, I'm so clean and I'm so good and I am so far above you. I really don't even need to bother with you, but I'll come without even a subpoena. We do have a problem in the sense that ex-FBI Chief Robert Mueller, who was overseeing the entire special inquiry, is refusing to appear. He, according to Graham, said he's declined the invitation of the committee to appear to explain his report, saying he doesn't have enough time. What is Mueller doing that's so important? He can't go and answer some questions about the biggest thing he had ever handled in his life and his findings and how it came to be. He doesn't have time. I'll come back to those issues with them in a moment. But let's get to this other issue about the erasing of the phones. You do know, of course, that many of the phones that were requested, ordered to be turned in by members of the Mueller investigative team, some of them attorneys, some of them FBI agents, some who knows what capacity they actually had, but when it came time to turn their phones in, we're talking about almost a dozen phones, if I recall right. At least 10, probably more. They said, you can have my phone, but I don't know. Something happened. Everything's erased on it. I don't know. It just erased itself. I don't know. How does that happen? Now, you know that if you try to enter your passcode, to enter your phone, and you enter it wrong, I think, three times, it will suddenly locked down, and you will not have access to it for maybe 30-plus seconds. Then you can start again. Quentin, my director, gave me some insightful information. He's smarter than I am on this thing, and he says, here's probably, he said, you have to keep in mind, you have to go to settings. You go into your settings on your phone. And folks, for some of you, you might think I might be advising someone how to build a bomb or how to carry out a hijacking. I mean, these folks already know how to do it. And these folks that have done it, they know what they were doing. But I guess if you're going to face some charges down the road, either something you're actually guilty of and you're trying to hide it, or hide a relationship with a spouse or something, here it comes. But it's something you could probably find anyway. But Quentin is my man to go to. And he said, here's what you do. You go in these settings. He said, and you have to adjust the settings that you get 10 times. 10 times, correct, Quentin? You can set it where you get at least 10 opportunities before your phone will shut down and erase everything. He said, so when you had the 2-3 mistakes putting in a passcode and it shuts down for a little bit, and then it'll come back and give you another chance, and you get to try 2 or 3 more times, and it'll shut it down maybe for 5 minutes. And then you get to try a couple more times, then maybe it shuts it down 6 minutes. You get up to 6 and then he gets 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. And then you get to try again, and then it's an hour. An hour later, by now it's got your word. Has your attention. Get the right passcode, or you're getting ready to lose everything. And you get, 2 more tries at that? But one more try. That would be your 10th try, 11th. Thank you, Quentin. I can't count. I told you, we first did real math in the third grade, longest 3 years of my life. Anyway, the 11th try, then it will, poof, everything's gone. A magical genie just wiped it out. So what, by Quentin's information, what that says, these FBI agents and attorneys working on the Mueller and with Mueller investigation, looking into the Trump collusion story, had to go to their settings in advance and set it up like that and just keep hitting with wrong IDs and wrong numbers until finally it just wiped it out. Now, the question, of course, can some of it still be recovered from the cloud in some fashion or another? Well, that's probably another issue that they have to go through, how to go about it. Question for Lindsey Graham about this erasing phones.
Well, common sense would tell you that multiple people erasing phones that are under investigation is suspicious as hell. Horowitz is doing a review of Crossfire Hurricane, and this could be obstruction of justice. If you know that your phone is going to be looked at for investigative purposes, you erase it, then you got a problem.
You do have a problem. That music, I think he was on Hannity, and that they started some kind of cue music. That's what that was. Now, I mentioned earlier about, and he said he's right. You're having to turn in your phone and suddenly everything's erased. You've got a problem. You got a problem explaining, first of all. But aside from that, Graham also talking about getting McCabe and Mueller in front of that Senate Judiciary Committee.
We're negotiating with McCabe, Mr. McCabe. We're hoping to get him without a subpoena. Time will tell. Mueller has declined the invitation of the committee to appear to explain his report. After the Horowitz report, he says he doesn't have enough time. But September the 30th, we'll have Mr. Comey before the committee, and I look forward to it.
We look forward to it, the 30th. We need to know exactly what happened, how it went down, who was involved, what they did, and more importantly, what they ignored and what they covered up so they could get away with it. Because they clearly thought they would not be touched. We'll take a break. When we come back, there's a warning from FBI Director Chris Wray about Antifa. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA.
Appearing today at a House Homeland Security Committee hearing, FBI Director Chris Wray making it clear Antifa is not a made-up right-wing conspiracy theory. At the FBI's cases involving those connected with it, he explained it might not be an organization in the traditional sense. It is a movement, and there are suspects who claim to be part of it. His quote exactly in front of the House Homeland Security Committee: Antifa is a real thing. It's not a group or an organization. It's a movement or an ideology, maybe one way of thinking of it. We have quite a number, and I've said this quite consistently since my first time appearing before this committee, we have any number of people predicated investigations into what we would describe as violent anarchist extremists. And some of those individuals self-identify with Antifa. And he reiterated, Antifa is a real thing. It is not a fiction. See, Democrats have been calling Antifa a fantasy and just made up. Jerry Nadler, Congressman, Democrat in New York, back in July, dismissed the whole idea of Antifa violence in Portland, saying it's a myth that's being spread only in D.C. The myth is that the city is burning. That's a myth. Ignore what you see and what your eyes show you. Just believe and listen to Jerry Nadler. Good luck with that, my friend. And the other problem is we cannot really get the Democrats to come out and make any claims against them and call it out. Well, they will try step by step, try to dip their toe in the water just a bit, but they are afraid of losing their base. And in fact, in the next hour, former Congressman Trey Gowdy is going to focus on that and this criminal element that continues to escalate, and the Democrats are silent. I don't care what they want to say now. They had night after night of their convention. Every night their convention was underway, there was violence and looting and burning and arson and other crimes committed against individuals, businesses, and police and law enforcement in Portland. And they did not mention one word in their convention. Not one word. Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee 2 days ago sent a letter to Nadler criticizing him, for launching, quote, fruitless partisan investigations into Trump while ignoring the threat of Antifa. And this coming out of the Justice Department, it is going to start exploring possible criminal or civil charges against local officials in Portland, Oregon. The local officials, to see what they were doing or not doing, are looking away, are basically giving a pass for it to continue, such as Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. I hope they do. And again with Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin. Remember, she allowed that chop chaz zone to be set up in her city. They need to be held fully accountable. And I would say the same if it's a Republican mayor. I don't really care. If you allow that to happen in your city and you're not really trying to stop it and you're just going to accept it, as in Seattle, we'll just look at it as a love fest for the summer. No, investigate and nail them to the wall. Coming up, as I said, the next hour, we're going to get more into the violence across our nation and how the Democrats are keeping their mouths shut. And speaking of violence, remember the violence against those sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles? Kamala Harris on the VP ticket from California as a senator has yet to say word one about the attacks on those officers. Not one word. Has made no effort to try to reach them. We'll get into that a little bit later. Coming up after this break, Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, COVID and sports.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine in the St. Louis area. Dr. Lehman, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thank you, Larry. How are you?
Great. And for the audience, most of you would be familiar, certainly if you're in the St. Louis area, Dr. Lehman treats numerous pro athletes for sports injuries and amateurs, high school, college, and so forth. And not just for the issue of starting sports in the St. Louis area, but beyond that, let me get to one quick question, and that is, do you have a concern about these folks playing at a high school level, college level, even pro level of football, whether you had that kind of contact involved on a field in COVID-19? Do you have a big concern?
I have no concern, no, sir.
None.
I mean, I think that at this point, you have to separate people that are sick and people that test positive, number one. You know, they went to the University of Alabama, they tested a bunch of people, they had positive tests. Most of those kids didn't even know they had a positive test. Most of them weren't sick at all or had never been sick. So this was this asymptomatic group we keep talking about. And I think in a healthy patient population, i.e. St. Louis high school football players or college football players in a healthy environment, I have zero concerns at this time about going back to playing football. And my opinion would be the Big Ten should play football this year. Now, I think if there are coaches or there are people that are at risk, whether they work in a locker room or work in an ancillary service, they need to steer clear if if they have comorbidities. But I think in terms of the athletes themselves, I have no concern.
Okay, the Big Ten says it is going to go ahead. They're bowing to the pressure from coaches and players and even the president. The president said, I think they should be playing. Pac-12 still trying to decide. Others have started play. But then you get into, like you say, other colleges. You get into high schools and so forth. Some high schools are going to allow it. Some aren't. But the other issue is, if they're going to be checking them, as they're doing apparently with the NBA games that are underway now, and I guess with the football, pro football games, if they're checking their temperature before they go on the field, if that's going to be the reason they say, well, we got to put you aside and do a COVID test on you, you can have a fever at any point at any time, couldn't you? I mean, obviously not have COVID. We know that.
No, I mean, I think the problem is, So in the NBA, and in certain situations, they're going to test every day, every other day. And there's no question that some people are going to come up with positive COVID tests. And the question then is, do you quarantine that athlete and say, hey, you can't come back for 2 weeks or 10 days or whatever? And that would be a prudent thing to do. That's a reasonable step to take. Now, if that kid's never been sick, his comment's going to be, look, I've never been sick. Why can't I play? And you can certainly understand that. But my opinion at this point is, if you're asymptomatic, you're not shedding virus, you don't know that you've been sick, you've not been sick, and you have some antibodies, I just don't know that athlete is at risk, and I don't know that athlete is actually contagious. And so, you know, if you caught the virus 3 months ago, you're not still contagious. So if you've never been sick, then there's no way to tell if you have any contagion at all, and the studies are starting to look like that's not the case.
In other words, that the tests are, they're not actually false, but they have no real value. Am I understanding you correct?
Well, I mean, after a while, they don't. So if you have antibodies towards polio, you know, you got a polio vaccine when you were a kid, you have antibodies towards polio, and we tested you and we found and said, Larry, you got antibodies towards polio. Nobody would say, well, you're going to give somebody polio. I mean, no one, or the mumps or measles or whatever. So if you have a test and you still have some lingering virus and that virus is dead, you don't know if that virus is alive or that virus is dead, then that virus is you can't give it to anybody. It's, you know, it's already gone through its course. It's dead. So you're not contagious. So that test doesn't do us any good. Now, if you're sick, that's a whole different issue. You know, you're actively sick, you're coughing, you're sneezing, you can't breathe. Then you have live virus. That's a, yes, you're contagious and you can give it to somebody. But if you just test somebody and they have no symptoms and you have a positive test and they've never been sick, you know, there's no way of telling if there's live virus or not. And I think to say that athlete is contagious on a random test and somebody who's never been sick, to me, doesn't do us any good, because you don't know if that patient's contagious or not. Probably isn't.
The other point is that most of those who have had problems with it, not just testing positive, but had problems with it, are outside and north of, generally north of 50, age 50. And certainly when you look at 25 and under, and even 12 and 10 and under, the numbers drop dramatically as to I should say major effects and our death, correct?
Correct. So, and you're way north of 50. You got to be probably 70, you know, to truly, I mean, 60, 70 years old and have comorbidities before you're at risk. Now, the number, I think I read somewhere that the first death of somebody under 20 occurred in California, and you don't know if that person had comorbidities or not. So, you know, just like you said, if you're under 30 or under 25 and you're healthy, your chances of having a significant problem are minimal. Now, people are saying, well, they might have myocarditis, but if you have the flu, you might get myocarditis for a period of time. The flu infiltrates the lining of the heart, which is what myocarditis is. It comes and goes, and then, you know, you're fine again. So again, just like any flu, You know, if you don't have live virus, you're not going to be contagious.
All right.
And your chances of being sick under 25 years old are small.
And, in fact, I do recall a report I saw when it looked at morbidity statements on autopsy reports. In other words, the final culmination, and out of those they checked, that 94% of those who died and they were listed as with COVID, they had underlying health issues. Only 6% were clear of anything else, and they died. Now, another point is getting to a vaccine. President Trump suggesting we're going to have it. Vice President Pence is saying we're on track to have 100 million doses of a COVID vaccine before December 31. I don't have any additional information on the inside. I don't know if you're hearing anything about a vaccine that either supports those statements that it's coming soon or it's not.
Well, you know, people are all over the place. The CDC said mid-next year. There are people that do believe we're going to have one by the end of the year. And I think that there's two questions. One question is, are we going to have a viable vaccine, and are we going to have enough doses of the vaccine to really vaccinate, quote-unquote, the country, a couple hundred million doses? I believe we will have a vaccine, a viable vaccine. I don't know if we'll have 100 million doses to give it to all the people that are need the vaccine or want to take the vaccine.
Well, in the meantime,
people aren't going to want to take it.
In the meantime, you've got many Democrats flat out saying, well, even if we have one, I won't take it. I won't trust it. In other words, if it gets cleared on the Trump administration, it could kill us and we just won't take it. In other words, they're becoming anti-vaxxers. They don't want this resolved until after the election. They want to keep it going through the election for sure, and probably beyond that if Trump stays in office. I'm not trying to put you in that political spot. I know you have your opinion, but if you're going to have a vaccine, obviously, supposedly it's going to be properly tested, hopefully, but it does take more than a few months normally, doesn't it?
Well, of course it takes a few months, and they've been working on it probably for, the better part of since January. So, but I think to believe that the scientific community is going to come out with a vaccine that's going to kill everybody because Trump's the president is ridiculous. I mean, that's like saying your hamburger at McDonald's doesn't taste good because Trump's the president. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use that. Oh, one other question, by the way, while we're talking about these masks. You and I have talked about these before. Again, there's a debate over the mask. Now, CDC is saying a mask is better than even a vaccine would be. I'm asking you again, if I have on one of these masks that are being distributed widely, and cloth masks supposedly are either better or worse, depending on it, and I'm walking through an area where they're smoking and I can smell smoke, does that not say I can also be taking in COVID virus if I can smell smoke through the mask? In other words, it doesn't shut down my breathing, obviously, entirely. If it did, I'd suffocate standing there with a mask on.
Well, the mask is going to stop large particles from coming through the environment into your mouth, lungs, etc. But it's if you can smell smoke through it, then the mask obviously is not impervious to the virus. And no mask is 100% impervious to the virus. The N95s are the best, but no mask is going to be 100% impervious to the virus. So to think it's better than the vaccine, that was one of the dumber questions, one of the dumber comments I've seen. And clearly a vaccine is going to be a lot more effective than wearing a mask.
One other issue that's come up is that now there's a study, but it seems to be greatly flawed. And just in 30 seconds, do you agree that you can get the virus through your eyes and that folks who wear glasses or wear the shields might have additional protection?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the virus is in the air, and I believe that if somebody were to spit at you or breathe right on you, your glasses might impart some small improvement in terms of your chance of getting the virus, but I think it's small.
All right.
But I think in most cases, that's going to be very limited. Now, if you had, a complete shield around your eyes where all sides were covered and nothing could get in, that might be that would be helpful.
All right. Dr. Lehman, as always, we appreciate your time, sir.
Take care. Thank you.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, giving you a good idea of what he thinks about sports and kids playing ball. Take a break when we come back. The California fires, climate change versus arson. You know this story coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
And with a voice like Dallas ringing out, there's no way the band can lose. You can feel it all over. You can
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the wildfires continue out west. There is rain that's helping in some areas, but the fires, of course, in California and Washington State and Oregon, deadly, dangerous. Numerous fire crews spread across the region doing the best they can. And, of course, the other day, President Donald Trump visited the area and sat down with California Governor Newsom, Democrat, profusely thanked the president, saying, I want to thank you and acknowledge the work you've done to be immediate in your response to help us. That happened Monday at a meeting. But then, a day or two later, Newsom met with Kamala Harris, a senator from California. And they were looking at the wildlife, or rather the wildfire devastation. And here came the political tone again. Because when Newsom met with Trump, they agreed, we're not going to get in debate as to what the cause, be it climate change or anything else. Let's just deal with your issue, help you out. Well, Kamala Harris is there, so she said, sadly, these wildfires and the devastation they cause are utterly predictable. This is not a partisan issue. This is just a fact. We have to do better as a country. Now, they were touring Fresno County, where a fire had leveled homes, leaving only chimneys standing. And she said, we have to understand that California, like so many parts of the country, has experienced extreme weather conditions. It is incumbent on us, in terms of leadership of our nation, to take seriously these new changes in our climate, do what we can to mitigate the change. And Newsom had the day earlier with Trump, had urged him gently that climate change is real. And he says, I think it's behind a lot of this. The governor said, listening to Harris, she gets it. She gets it. Trump doesn't. Trump has been pushing since he's been elected to say you need better forest management plans. You need to include clearing vegetation, thinning dead trees, putting fire breaks in place. And California's had to admit, yeah, we failed on that. Well, that failure didn't help stop any of the fires, did it? Now, a lot of the fires, they believe, have been caused by lightning and storms, and then sometimes carelessness of people because the situation's so tender, but in some cases, actual arson. And yet you'll see different reports surfacing on that very point. There are some who come forward and say, there are no arsonists. I mean, I'm looking at a piece that Facebook took down, a false reports of Antifa arson in Oregon. Now, I don't know if Antifa started it. They say they took it down because they don't want to say far-left activists started it, but there are cases that people have started them. In fact, in Oregon, there's a 41-year-old jailed on two charges of arson, and others have been caught starting a fire or leaving a fire that suddenly started. There are a couple also charged with arson with wildfires in California. Now, whether or not they're related to Antifa, I'm not going to debate right now. They're idiots and they're endangering people and they should be going to jail. But speaking about, again, Kamala Harris coming in and trying to be at the scene of anything where she can show empathy and concern, that's what she's been doing. Trey Gowdy, former U.S. congressman, says, you know what I'm hearing a lot lately? He said, folks not that concerned about Biden, but Kamala. Here are the words of Trey Gowdy.
More than anything, I'm getting who is Kamala Harris, because I think that there is a very real likelihood she will have a disproportionate role in the administration if he wins. We've seen Pelosi put, you know, coronavirus relief on hold. People are familiar with Chuck Schumer. I mean, even if Joe Biden were to win, he will not be running government. You can watch an interview, and it's painful to watch. He will not be running the country, even if he prevails in November. Oh.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that. He will not be running the country, and in fact, I'm not sure he will survive the first term. And I don't wish ill on him. I don't wish death or illness or anything of that nature. And it's not going to mock or make fun of a guy if he's actually dealing with dementia and so forth. And there are plenty of things you can say. And I occasionally will kind of point out something that just looks kind of stupid. I'm not blaming it on dementia or anything else like that. But if that's really the case behind it for him, I feel for him. Feel for anyone going through that and their family. But as I told you from the beginning, when Kamala Harris was brought onto that ticket, she did not come to be vice president. She came to be president. She knows. And Joe Biden had already said, I want somebody who could be ready to take over after my first 4 years. In other words, he already wanted someone there. She says, I'm that person. But I'll tell you where she's not showing any empathy and concern when it comes to stopping violence across the city, speaking out against it. Those two Los Angeles sheriff's deputies who were shot down in their car but have survived, she has not reached out to them or their families, hasn't even made a phone call to them, has not even done a news conference, not even a news statement being released, my sympathy and heart and prayers for those deputies they recover. She has said nothing against the blatant ambush assault on those deputies. You want her to be your president when Biden is pushed aside? Next hour, we're going to get into more detail about how the mob will do what it can if we allow it. And the left will allow it. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.